take your Bibles this morning and turn to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I want you to find we'll start with verse number 1. Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to start at verse number 1. Let me tell you the name of the sermon today. It is this: "And again, I say, rejoice." And again, I say, rejoice. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 1. Stand with me, if you would, real quickly. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 1. I'm going to read these verses out loud, then we'll pray and we'll get the sermon underway. The Bible says this: "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech ye, Euodias and beseech thee, Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with others my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice." That verse is where we get the title from. "And again, I say, rejoice." Let me say something to you all, and I say this to help us. I don't think I've ever, in the history of the Church of Christianity, seen so many people that struggle so much with their spirit, their joy, and their happiness. Did you know that heaven is as real as it's always been? The Bible's as true as it's always been. Jesus is still alive. And I think we're expected by God to have joy today, just like everybody was expected to have joy through the centuries. But I really want to encourage you today. There's some of you, you really, really need to work on your joy. You need to work on your joy. It's a big deal in the Christian life. Let me say a word of prayer, and then I'll talk to you about it. Father, bless us now as we together look at the Word of God. Lord, you are the great physician. If there's something about us that needs healed, you're the one that can do it. I think some need their spirit healed. Some need their attitudes healed. Obviously, there are those who have issues with their body, and we would ask for that healing. But today, Lord, I look not toward the physical man, but toward our emotions and toward our spirits, our hearts, our attitudes. Holy Spirit of God, reach down and do something for someone today. Not only do I want them to have a good church service, not just a good day. Father, I'd like for them to have a good week, but not only a good week. Might our lives be influenced by what is said in this church service today. For some, may they not just observe during church, but help them to let the Bible change their life, their outlook on life, so that they'll have a happy life, a joy-filled life from here on out. Now, bless us, Lord, as we endeavor to teach the Bible today, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. I'm not going to debate the word happiness and the word joy with you today. I would just say this: Christians are to be happy. Christians are to have joy. Christians are to smile. And I would tell you this: I worry about Christians that just never smile. Now, I think there are moments when life is difficult, and sure, there might be a frown on the face. But I got to tell you, I think Christians have a whole lot more to smile about than they do to frown about. And I think Christians have more to laugh about than they do to cry about. Listen, we're to smile, and we're to smile about good things. And Christians are to laugh, and we're to laugh about good things. We're to have happy and joyful attitudes and spirits about our lives and about ourselves. I'm gonna tell on my wife, and you'll need to pray for me. I may have something to cry about later on, but right now I'm going to tell you a story. She and I, we were out soul winning and decided we needed to run by and visit with some of our members. And we were sitting in the living room, and all of a sudden my wife starts cackling and she's laughing, and I'm thinking, well, we were all talking, and I thought she would stop, but she didn't. She just kept laughing, and she had sat back in her chair and she popped her feet up, and I said, "What are you doing?" And she said, look at my shoes. Now, we're in somebody's home. She said, look at my shoes. I looked down. She had two totally different shoes on. Now, and I don't mean two shoes that were, you know, the same brand, the same color, but, you know, something a little different about them. One was black, as black could be, and the other was a light brown, and they were totally different styles. And so I'm looking, she's just laughing to beat the band. I didn't know what to do. So Jerry and Barbara, they started laughing, and she's just staring at those shoes, and I thought, good Ness, I can't let the woman go out in public by herself. And she, and I mean, it was just hilarious. And so we just sat and laughed for a little while because she had gone soul winning with me and representing the church with two different shoes on. And so, help me. If I'm traveling and stuff, keep an eye on her. You know, if you see her wandering around Walmart or something and you feel like she needs a little help, you know, show her where the car's at. And if you do notice the shoe thing, pull her aside and say, you know, those don't match. And but it was so, so funny. And we laughed. And the great thing about it was she was laughing at herself. She's the one that pointed it out. Now, Jerry, we might have been able to sneak out of the house without anybody knowing because we were not examining one another's shoes. But she didn't let it go. She thought it was funny, and we laughed. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. The Christian life, there are so many what I'd call decent and clean things about which we should have joy and that we should enjoy. There's a song. I love the song. It's how many of you have ever heard the song? And the children sing it a lot, but it's good for everybody. It's called "The Joy of the Lord is My Strength." That's a good song. Brother Edwards, Rachel, are you here? Rachel, why don't we do this? Let's see if we can sing this song. Brother Edwards, teach them the song, and I'm going to have you all help sing the song a little. I didn't study this week, so I don't have a sermon, so I'm going to sing a couple of songs to make up for it. But sing a little bit of it and teach it, and then I'll get you some help. Okay, I'll get you somebody who can help.
All right, now, it's "The Joy of the Lord is My Strength." How many know the song? Okay? Those of you that know it, I'm going to need your help. Okay? For those that don't know it, you're going to have to sing it out. So there's a few verses. You'll just have to follow along with me. Here we go. Ready? Sing it out. Now, smile. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Again on the first. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Now, He gives me living water and I thirst no more. Here we go. Ready? He gives me living water and I thirst no more. He gives me living water and I thirst no more. He gives me living water and I thirst no more. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Yes, He fills my mouth with laughter, right? Here we go, ready? He fills my mouth with laughter. I go, ha, ha, ha. He fills my mouth with laughter. I go, ha, ha, ha. He fills my mouth with laughter. I go, ha, ha, ha. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Okay, where's Miss Martha at?
Yeah, Martha, why don't you come up
here?
Come
on up, Miss Martha.
Brother Uriah, why don't you come up here?
Brother Crawford,
let's do the verse. Right there at the end where it's, Okay.
We'll do
Martha,
the first.
You're learning it. Good. You're perfect for this. Dave, have you got their microphones on? Because this will be funny.
Okay, now, we're going to do it again. He fills my mouth with laughter, but the last verse just goes, ha, 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 ha. Okay? Some of you are already getting it, all right? Don't get ahead of me. Here, he fills my mouth. Ready? He fills my mouth with laughter. I go, ha, ha, ha. He fills my mouth with laughter. I go, ha, ha, ha. He fills my mouth with laughter. I go, ha, ha, ha. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Ready? Ha, 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 ha. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Yes. not bad, not bad. The verse in Philippians chapter 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let me talk to you about that for just a few minutes. For some of you, you smiled just a moment ago, and you've not really smiled much lately. Some of you actually laughed. You've not laughed much. And truth is, it's an honor for the Christian to have the joy of the Lord. But not only that, it is a responsibility. So listen to me, if you will, and let me tell you some things. First of all, the Bible says this. Number one, God commands that we rejoice. This says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, period. God wants us to rejoice. It's a command. Do you want to be happy in the Lord? Do you know something? If you want to be, you can be. You certainly can be. It ought to show on your face. It ought to show in your eyes. It ought to show in your attitude and in your words. I think this. I think joy strengthens the Christian, and I think it strengthens the Christian so that they can do brave things for God. I'm going to tell you something, and listen to this. Sad people don't usually have the great victories in life. They're too busy being sad. Joyful Christians are the ones that conquer. You don't find sad Christians accomplishing wonderful feats. They're too busy licking their wounds. Joy is an influential thing. I think this. I think lost sinners are attracted to the joy in Jesus that is produced by God's people. I'm going to tell you all something. You want something good to help you with your soul winning? Get a smile on your face and be happy about the fact that you're saved. And there are people that just they're attracted to that attitude. Now, look, if you're sad and morbid and depressed and you go tell someone about your wonderful Savior, you're not a real good example. Wayward Christians, I think, are attracted back to God and back to the church because of the joy and the happiness that they see in Christians. There's probably somebody sitting here today that's not real used to our church. And already you say, this is good for me. I need to laugh. I need that joy. They admire that joy. There's somebody that just watched Martha, and you don't have to watch Martha for long. And you will laugh, but she's a happy Christian. You say, well, sure, if I had it made like Martha. No, you don't know the burdens of that lady. You don't know those burdens, but she's a happy Christian, and she has joy. I think lost sinners are attracted to that joy. I think wayward Christians are attracted back to God because of that joy. I think people that are stuck in dead, dry churches are attracted out of that mess by happy Christians that are going to a church that experience the joy of the Lord. And I think joy is contagious. Is anybody catching it from you? If everybody in our church had the same level of joy that you have, what would our church be like? Would you even want to come? But joy is contagious, and joy is commanded. Joy, it makes you like God. Joy is good for you. Hey, and joy is good for others. Would anyone say that you are full of the joy of the Lord? But you ought to be. The Bible commands the joy of the Lord. You say, what does that mean? You and I are to do what we must do to have the joy of the Lord in our lives. You say, well, it just comes natural for some. Let me explain. Spiritual things do not come naturally for anybody. There is a battle for everyone. And I'll promise you this. You look at some people in our church and you say, all right, look, they've got the joy of the Lord, and that's because they've got it easy going in life. I'll promise you this. Some of the happiest people in our church have it worse than you. They have chosen to have the joy of the Lord in spite of what they face. So, number one, it's commanded. Number two, the joy that we're to have, it's very specific. It's specific. God pinpoints it. There in Philippians 4:4, he said, the joy, it says, in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. What's that mean? In the Lord. Now, let me say, if you're not saved, you're going to have a hard time having joy in the Lord, because in the Lord means that you're saved. And I could understand why unsaved people would be sad. I would understand that. If you're not going to heaven, I'd be sad too. No doubt about that. But listen, unsaved people are sad. Unsaved people are pretty depressed about it. And you say, why? Well, their eternal destiny, it's hell, and they don't have heaven to look forward to. But let me tell you something. Sad Christians, if you're not careful, you'll give the impression that you're not on your way to heaven. I mean, if heaven is your final destiny, you ought to put a smile on your face for the journey. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in God. Rejoice in what He is. Rejoice in who He is. Rejoice in what He does. Hey, rejoice in that for which God stands. Rejoice in that for which God does not stand. I mean, we have something to have joy about. And it's in the Lord. Your joy is not totally dependent on what's happening to you. Some of your joy ought to be about what's happening with God. You see, our lives are not just about us. Our lives are a reflection and a representation of the great God of the universe. And we need to give everybody the right impression about God. I will promise you, God is not depressed in heaven. He's not. It's not morbid. He's not sad. And He is our great example. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in God. Hey, let's talk about the Trinity for a second. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I'm to rejoice in what God the Father is. I'm to rejoice in what Jesus is. What is He? Let me tell you what He is to me. Oh, what a Savior. He made heaven available to me. What is He to me? He's my best friend. What is He? What does He do for me? He keeps me. He protects me. He gives me faith and hope. I am to rejoice in God the Father. I should rejoice in God the Son. And I should rejoice in the Holy Spirit of God. What does the Holy Spirit do for me? He works in my heart. He comforts me. He works in my church. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. There's a specificness about that joy. He said, rejoice in the Lord. That's a command. But it says, in the Lord. Listen to Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. It says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Folks, way too many times we joy about fleshly things, but we ought to have joy in spiritual things. Don't rejoice in the flesh. Now, there are some of you, you used to get a kick out of, you got your joy, you got your thrill, you got your happiness back when you were partying. You'd party to get some, try to get some joy, if you will, in your life. You'd party and you'd sin. You'd do sinful things. Why? To try to spice up your life a little bit to bring happiness. Let me tell you something. God said, don't rejoice in those type things. Rejoice in your new life in Christ Jesus. Heavenly-minded people are happy people. Worldly-minded people are more depressed people. Hey, are the only things that make you happy things of this life? Are there any earthly victories that you are experiencing that bring you joy? Can I tell you something? You're to have joy when people get saved.
Right. Amen.
But there's some of you, it doesn't mean anything to you. Here's the sad thing. You used to laugh and carry on when you were drunk.
Yep.
You could laugh about being drunk. You could laugh about being high. You could laugh about being immoral. But we can get somebody saved, which is a wonderful, eternal, true, pure, fantastic thing. And you don't smile about it at all. It does not even matter to you that they got saved. But you got your thrill, you got your joy with Jack Daniels. Now, I've got news for you. It's time for you to turn that off and turn your joy for Jesus on. You ought to get thrilled when people get saved. You ought to be thrilled when people get baptized. You ought to be thrilled when people rededicate their life to Jesus. Hey, let me ask you this. What heavenly victory has come in your life that brought joy to your depressed spirit? Spiritual victories thrill the Christian. But most people get all their joy from the world. Get it all from the world. You see, God commands that we rejoice. We are to rejoice in
the Lord.
I think you would expect this of me because I'm the pastor. But I thrill at church. I love to come to church. I love to come to Sunday school. I love to hear my choir sing. I love to see the people around the church, and I love to hear about people getting born again, and I love to watch the buses roll in. I just love that. I thrill. That makes me happy. Now, some of you, it doesn't matter to you a lick. Matter of fact, you're miserable being here. But God said your joy is to be in the Lord. And here's what I want you to understand. If you can go get your thrills from the devil and the devil's crowd and the devil's music and the devil's way, what would be wrong with you getting a thrill out of the things of God? Don't you think that ought to be turned around somehow? You see, we're commanded to have joy. And then our joy is specific. It's in the Lord. Now, he even makes it a little more complicated. He said, rejoice in the Lord. There's a command. And it's in the Lord. And then he used the word always. What's he mean? Always. What does that word mean? Always. It means always. That's what it means. Look, folks, God's saying to us, rejoice in the Lord always. When you can find anything to rejoice about, rejoice about it. Rejoice about the promises of God. And let me tell you how you can, there's something about which you can rejoice no matter what you face in life. And that is this. If you're born again, you're going to heaven, and nobody can ever take that away from you. So no matter what you face today, the fact that you are a born again Christian ought to put a smile on your face. You say, will that make the financial dilemma go away? No, but the financial dilemma will not make your security in Jesus Christ go away. You can smile no matter what you face because your eternal destiny is in heaven. When you find things to give God credit for, give Him credit and rejoice in those things. If you're not a rejoicer, you need to become one. Can I tell you what I'm learning about people? There are some people, they want to be sad. They want to be sad. They act sad. They look for sad things. They feed off of sad things. They want to be sad. Why? Why would you want to be sad? When God said, rejoice in the Lord. He said, rejoice in the Lord. And He said, always. And again I say rejoice. If you're not a rejoicer, somebody in here, your decision today is you need to decide you're going to start rejoicing in the Lord. Learn to rejoice in public. Learn to rejoice in public. Don't be afraid to laugh. Don't be afraid to enjoy life. And again, people go out and party and do the stupidest things and make fools out of themselves and laugh and carry on while they're partying. And then they'll come to church and they'll sit there like a bump on a log. They won't sing. They won't laugh. They won't smile. What's going on in your head? What's going on in your heart that you can be in the world and the devil's crowd and have a good time, but you can't come to church and have a good time? Something's not right there. We are commanded to rejoice in the Lord always. Learn to rejoice in public. Learn to rejoice in private. Learn to rejoice when it's hard. This thing of joy, you say, well, again, it comes natural. It does not come natural. It's something you do, and you learn to do it on purpose. Now, I realize there are certain things in life that they happen. There are occurrences, and, you know, they just catch us off guard, and we laugh, and it just happened. But I'm going to tell you, there are times when I've faced burdens in life, and those burdens could get me down, and I had to look that burden right square in the eyeball and say, look, you are not going to steal my joy. I may have to carry this burden. I may have to go through a hard time, but I am still saved, and I still have the Bible, and I can still find something to rejoice about, and I will get a smile on my face, and I will keep on moving for God. Now, sometimes you have joy because it's right to do. But let me tell you, it's healthy for you. You say, well, I don't believe it's that easy. I wish you would have told my parents. I wonder how many times I heard my dad say, I'd remove that look off your face, boy. I can remember my mom saying, you better get happy quick, son. And don't you think our Heavenly Father looks down sometimes at you and I when we're acting childish about something and He said, you gotta wipe that look off your face. I'm your Heavenly Father. You're going to heaven. Why do you have your mind in the ground when your mind ought to be on the eastern skies? God sometimes, I think, would say, wipe that look off your face, Christian. You are my representative. Smile for Jesus. You know, smiling won't hurt you. It won't hurt you. It'll do nothing but help you.
Yes, sir.
It'll do nothing but help you. You see, God commands that we rejoice. God, it's a specific thing. He said, in the Lord. That's clean. That's decent rejoicing and happiness. Then we're to always rejoice. But what kind of amazing to me about it, and the title of the sermon this morning, is those last handful of words. He says, and again, I say rejoice. The Apostle Paul was writing this passage of Scripture to the Philippian church. And he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And you know what? He could have stopped right there and put a period in it. It would have been fine. But for some reason, he said, let me repeat myself. I'm glad he did that. Because I find myself repeating myself constantly. And it's not Alzheimer's. I don't think. And it's not Alzheimer's. I don't think. But Paul repeated himself. And I'll tell you why. It was for a double emphasis. Why? Because I think Paul said, you say it once and it'll roll off of people like water off a duck's back. You say it again and make sure it is emphasized and that we mean business about this. You ought to have joy. You ought to have joy. Let me tell you young people, you need to conquer this in your life and you need to get joy in your life. And let me explain something to you. Life does not get easier. Life does not get easier. At whatever level you're choosing to have joy right now, young people, you're going to have to crank it up a little bit as you get older. Because life does not become simpler. Life does not have less burdens when you grow older. You have more burdens as you grow older. You will have to take the responsibility of getting control of your spirit in your youth, or you will have no control over yourself as you get older. And let me say to some of you that are in your 20s and 30s, life gets tougher. If you're raising kids right now, wait until you start raising teenagers. You'll find out how funny life is. Life doesn't get easier. As we grow older, life complicates. Why? There's more responsibility. There's more that you see. There's more that you are involved in. So may I say to everybody, we need to keep our spirit strong and we need to keep our attitude strong and we're to have the joy of the Lord. But he said, and again, I say, rejoice. Now you might think that the Apostle Paul was passive. I don't think if you really took a good long look at who Paul was, there was anything passive about him. I believe Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. He probably looked out in the congregation and somebody out there with their nose turned up. And Paul said, and again I say rejoice. Get that look off your face. Get the joy of God in your heart. The book of Philippians, penned by Paul, and if you looked at it, you'll find out. There's joy all over the place in the book. If you had to pick a theme for the book of Philippians, it probably would have to do with joy in God. Because over and over and over again, he talks about joy. Now remember, he said, don't get your joy from the world. Get your joy in the Lord. I grabbed a bunch of verses. I'm going to show them to you very, very quickly. I'm going to show you, and I'm going to read a verse to you, and I want you to notice it has the word joy or rejoice in it, and then it is attached to what brings joy for the Christian. For instance, according to the book of Philippians, and every one of them is from this book, the book of Philippians, where
God used Paul to say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I repeat, he said, I repeat, rejoice. Now listen, here's what I found. Prayer brings joy. Listen to Philippians chapter 1, verse 4. Always, in every prayer of mine, for you all making request with joy. Now look at me and believe the Bible. Praying people are happy people. If I could right now ask everyone that is deeply, morbidly depressed to raise your hand, I would then follow it up with this question. How much did you pray this week? And most would say, none. I have never met a true prayer warrior that is absent of joy. Amen. Ever. Yes, sir. Ever. And I have seen some prayer warriors going through what I'd call hell on earth in their lives. But they come up off their knees with a smile on their face. You say, Pastor, help me. I'm sad. Pray.
Amen.
I dare you to try it. I challenge you to try it. But you know what happens? Hardship comes. And prayer often is the last place we go. Number two, I noticed that preaching brings joy. You say, I've never been here, man. Listen to this verse again from Philippians, the book of joy. Philippians 1:18. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice. Yea, and will rejoice. He twice uses the word rejoice attached to preaching. Now, you say, Pastor, help me. I'm sad. Pastor, help me. My spirit is down. Turn your rock music off. Turn preaching on.
Yes, sir.
Again, it's rare you're going to find people that listen to a lot of preaching who are sad all the time. You go to a medication to help with your depression. I go to sermons. That's what I do. If I'm down, I find a sermon. You say, what? What for? Get me up. Done it all my life. I get my fix. Again, My experience is some of the saddest people I know are in church the least. What's the primary purpose of church? The preaching of the Word of God. You will help yourself by being around preaching, especially the right kind. So that you hear what Paul said? He said, what then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Paul said, boy, if I'm going through a tough time, I go find somebody that's preaching and really preaching it. And I get help. It lifts my spirit. And I think some of you understand that. You know what? Some of you, you're out there in the world and you're going through it. Sometimes you can't wait to get to church. You say, why? If I get to church, I'll get some help with my attitude. I'll get uplifted. Preaching helps your spirit. It helps your joy. Thirdly, if you'll stay in church like you ought to, it'll bring joy to you. If you'll be faithful to church. Listen to Philippians 1:25. This is Paul speaking to the church at Philippi. He said, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. What's happening? He is alluding to the fact that he's going to stay in church with them. And he said, it brings joy. Folks, again, people that are faithful to church are the people that are going to have the strongest spirits and the strongest attitudes. If you, it's a natural. You get away from the preaching of the Word of God, which takes place at church, and you will wander away from the joy that's available. Let me warn all of you. If you ever get sick and you have a season where you're out of church, you better get back as quickly as you can, because what'll happen is while you're out, the devil has a way to turn your attitude sour on church or sour on preaching or sour on the old time religion. You better guard, because coming to church helps keep your attitude happy and joyful. But not only that, unity and like-mindedness, let's talk about unity in the church, it brings joy. Philippians 2:2, same book, the book of joy, it says, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." Now, I believe that our church is a happy church, and I believe our church has a healthy spirit, and I'll tell you why. We're like-minded. You say, well, how do you become like-minded? You let the Bible be your guide. Everything that I preach, I don't like. But I preach it because it's in the Bible. Do you know that everything I preach, you say, boy, he's getting on us. Well, sometimes I'm getting on me. I'm a human being too. I get under conviction, under my own preaching. Why? It's the Word of God. It's good for me too. The Bible here is talking about like-mindedness. It's talking about unity. You give me a church where there is unity and like-mindedness, and you will have joy. You give me a home where there is unity and like-mindedness, there'll be joy. You give me a home where people are contrary. You give me a home where people are critical. You give me a home where there is disunity, and there will be an absence of joy. Because like-mindedness and unity produce joy. That's what it said. Then, seeing that your work for God is not wasted or in vain brings joy. Philippians 2:16 says, holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice, there's the word, in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. In other words, Paul was saying, I get joy when I see that my work for Christ is not in vain. Now look, if you're serving to please God, God said that'll bring joy. If you're serving to please man, you may end up having an absence of joy, because you won't always be able to please man. Serve to please God. Serve God in the church to please God. That'll produce joy. But he's also talking about his labor not wasted. Can I tell all of you how you can help produce joy for another church member? A bunch of you, you go to a Sunday school class. If you go to that Sunday school class and you will remain faithful to God and you'll keep serving Jesus, you will bring joy to your Sunday school teacher, I will promise you. You young people that come in here on buses, look up this way and pay attention. You young people that ride into church on buses, let me explain something. You want to produce joy for your bus captain, you want to produce joy for your bus worker, you keep serving God so that the labor and the work that they put into you does not seem like it's in vain. I'm going to warn you, I got a group of young people that want to be in the ministry someday. You better get ready. You better serve because you love God, because you're going to find out there are going to be all sorts of people you're going to invest in, and you could give your life and your blood, sweat, and tears and risk everything you have to help people, and a lot of them will fizzle just like that, and you'll never see them again. And if you're not serving the Lord Christ, you'll quit. You'll quit. But if you'd all like to make somebody happy, make sure the investment that they have put into you spiritually is not in vain, that it's not wasted. Young people, how would you like to bring joy to your parents? You want to bring joy to your parents? You keep your eyes on the Lord, and don't you go out and mess up your life, and don't you act like an animal in life. You'll bring joy to your parents. John said, I have no greater joy than to see that my children walk in truth, which also teaches you the opposite. When a child does not serve God with their life, it can be one of the heaviest things on a parent's heart. So you young people ought to decide to bring joy to your mom and dad. But in this passage of Scripture, we find out that prayer brings joy. Preaching brings joy. Being faithful to church brings joy. Unity brings joy. Not wasting investment spiritually brings joy. I like this. I think what it's saying here is that by sticking with the old time truth, it brought joy to the Apostle Paul. Listen to Philippians 3:1. It says, finally, my brethren, rejoice. There's the word we're looking for. in the Lord to write the same things to you. To me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you, it is safe. You know what he's saying? He said, I taught you something. Now I'm going to teach the very same thing that I gave you before. In other words, Paul said, I've not changed my beliefs. And that shouldn't be grievous to you, and it's not grievous to me. He said, I have joy because I'm still teaching the truth that was given to me by Jesus, and it ought to encourage you. I really believe this, and for some of you, this isn't going to make sense to you. I am so pleased. I am so happy. I am so full of joy that God has protected me personally and allowed me to stay true to the old-time religion. And that might not thrill you, but it thrills me. It just makes me happy. You say, why? I don't know. The Bible just, Paul said, look, I'm telling you the same thing I told you before. And Paul's saying, I still believe the way I believed originally, and I've not gone the way of corruption, and I'm not becoming a modernist. I'm sticking to the old time religion. And Paul said, that makes me happy. Now let me tell you something. For some of you that are newer in the church, that you don't understand, but one of the things that makes our church a little bit different is that we believe the fundamentals of the Bible. We're not trying to come up with a new way of doing things. We're more than satisfied with the original way that Jesus gave us, and we're just old time religion, and we don't mind that. Now, for some of you, you sit there and you say, that makes me happy too, preacher. That makes me happy. I'm glad I'm in a church that's old-time religion. That's what I want to be. That's where I want to be. And that joy is available to anybody. But Paul said it brought him joy. Then, walking in the Spirit produces joy. Let me read the verse to you. Philippians 3:3, it says this. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice. Let me explain something. The day you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God moved within you. He lives within you. Now, you have to choose to let Him control whatever degree of control you'll allow Him in your life. That's where you get the term Spirit fullness. It's like this. You got all of Him, but He didn't get all of you. And until you give Him space to expand inside you, He's limited. So sometimes people limit what's available to them in the Spirit. But here Paul said he was in the Spirit and that brought joy. And again, if you would like a point blank teaching, I've never seen a Christian that's filled with the Spirit that was depressed, ever. Say why? That's not what the Spirit of God is. The Spirit of God's not a depression. Never. Walking in the Spirit produces joy. Hey, listen to this. I think you find out, and I've got a couple more and we'll be done. But I'm going to tell you what I think somebody ought to do. Somebody ought to order the CD. You ought to listen to it. You ought to outline all the things that bring you joy. I don't have time to expand on them. And some of you need to laminate it, stick it in the front of your Bible, and look at it on a regular basis till you get yourself out of your slump. These things bring joy. Not a promise from Jeff Owens, a promise from Almighty God. Paul said, the people that I've won to Christ bring me joy. Philippians 4:1, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. My joy and crown. Who are these? There is a crown that is given for soul winning in the Bible. That means helping someone to get born again. He's talking, he said, these people are my joy, and they're the reason I get my crown. Some of you will not believe this. If you're depressed, if you'll go out and win someone to Jesus Christ, I will guarantee it will lift your spirit. You say, what do you do if you're sad? What do you do, Pastor, if you feel some depression going on? I go tell someone how to get born again. I even have to force myself to go do it. There are times I say, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to go tell someone about Jesus. I don't want to do it. Oh, but I need to. So I'm going to do it. And I'll say, you want to get saved? And they'll say, yes. I'll say, well, let's pray and get saved. You know what happens? They get saved and I walk away saying, I want to do this. I want to do this. This is good. You planned on giving 5 minutes to it, but you want someone to Christ and you're ready to give 5 hours. You say, I don't get that. I know you don't, because you never do it. Any soul winners here? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It works. It works. So I didn't read that in a psychology book. Well, the best book ever written is right in there. He said, I have joy from those of you that help me to earn my crown. When you look at people that you've won to Jesus Christ, it will bring you joy. Now, you say, I'm sad all the time. Let me ask you this question. When's the last time you took your Bible, showed someone how to be born again, helped them to pray and ask Jesus Christ to come into their heart and save them? Say, never have. I guess you've not used a tool that would be very good for your spirit then. Try it. Try it. Paul wrote to the people in the church in Philippi. He said, I can help you with your joy. He said, let me repeat myself. He was saying, I'm very serious about this. This will make a difference. He said, pray, it'll bring joy. He said, preaching, it'll bring joy. He said, stay in church where you belong, it'll bring joy. He said, keep unity in your home and in the church, it'll bring joy. He said, be careful not to waste other people's investment in you, it'll bring joy. Stick with the old time religion, it'll bring joy. Walk in the Spirit, it'll bring joy. Have converts and win people to Christ, it'll bring joy. Did you know that working for Christ brings joy? It brings joy. In verse number 3, he uses these words, true yoke fellow and laborer. And in verse 4, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I wish you understood this. Having church responsibilities and spiritual responsibilities will bring joy in your life.
Amen.
Say, Pastor, are you just trying to get work out of me? No. There's nothing that happens around here that I could not do. Well, Brother Young, I don't mean all that. There's some computer stuff that I'm not smart enough to do. But I could learn it. It's not that we have to have you. I'm going to tell you, you have to have it. It'll make you happy. For some of you, the moment that you come in here and you serve God for a little while, it's some of the happiest thing that you do all week long. Brings joy. I watch young people and teenagers coming in and serving God, and it's good. It will bring joy in their life. See, if your life is all wrapped up in you and yours, and you're not doing anything, you need service to God.
Yes,
you know, this isn't a game. God knew what He was doing. God knew that giving you... Did you know God doesn't have to have you? You have to have God. So God said, come on down to the church and get some responsibility. It'll get you out of your morbid depression. It'll get you out of that state that you're in. What? That's what Paul said. He said, he's talking about my true yoke fellow and my labor in Christ. And he said, rejoice in the Lord. I rejoice. You know, I am so glad that I get to serve God. Just so you all know, you may pay me as your pastor to do the counseling and to work around the building, but you don't pay me to preach. Say why? It's too fun. I couldn't expect you to pay me for something that's so much fun. I'm as happy as I could be right now. I'm serving God. I'm not in jail. I'm serving God. I'm not flat on my back dying. I'm serving God. I'm enjoying it. Serving God. Having spiritual responsibilities will help your spirit. You say, I'm really down. Draw up a list of all the things you do for Jesus around the church. Then ask yourself, why are you down? Let me give you two more and we'll be done. Cross my heart. Hope Brother Edwards dies. Caring for others will bring joy. Caring for others will bring joy. Let me read to you what Paul said again in the book of Philippians. Philippians 4:10, he says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now, at the last, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. He is talking about serving others and how that the serving of others produces joy. Now, again, a very simple statement that you need to hear. some would not be so sad if you did not spend so much time thinking about yourself. And if you want to stay there, just keep insisting that you think about yourself. And if you want to go deeper, even think about yourself more. You want help? You say, I'm really sad. Let me, I have a doctorate. I have credentials. Let me, as a doctor, tell you what to do to help you with some of your sadness. If you're a lady, you make some chocolate chip cookies. You go down to the nursing home and you go find somebody that has no one to love on them and walk into their room and give them some chocolate chip cookies and lighten their day, and you probably won't be as depressed. And there's the prescription from Dr. Owens. And then bring some cookies by to me. You say, that won't make me happy. Yeah, but it'll make me happy. Men, find somebody that needs some help and help them. It will help your joy. I'm done, but let me tell you this. The Bible says in Philippians 4:18 that sacrificing for God brings joy. Philippians 4:18 says, But I have all and abound, I am full, having received, says the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing. And he is talking about joy. He said, I'm full of joy because of sacrifice. I felt like a man did not handle something well, but I had a man in a church that I pastored years ago, and he had sacrificed greatly to make something available to the church. And he always, when he talked about it, he would say, now, I don't want any credit for this. But he said, did you know I paid for that? I thought, well, you do want credit for it, but that's okay. But I will tell you this. He did sacrifice. He pulled out a big checkbook and he wrote a very big check to buy something. I'll tell you what, Brother George, it really did make him happy. I mean, he had sacrificed and it helped his joy. It just did. You all know what it's like. You sacrifice and you give towards something, and there's a fulfillment in it. There's just something about it. Every parent in here understands it. There's just something about sacrificing and making something available to your children or to your family, and it costs you something, and they don't even totally understand it. But you get a joy out of the sacrifice. And I think sacrificing for the Lord produces joy for God's children. You say, ah, God's just trying to get stuff. I don't think you understand. God already owns it. You thought it was wrong for you to give God back His stuff? He owns it all. He said, I'll give you a thrill. I'll give it to you. Give some back. And you get joy. You're thinking, well, that's not fair to God. Yeah, but sure is a good deal for me and you. And that's how He does it. You see, joy is commanded. Joy is specific. It's in the Lord. Joy, He said, always. You always can find something to produce joy in your life, no matter what's going on around you. He said, then the whole book of Philippians, He gives a list. He tells you what things will produce joy. You really want joy? Get the list. Let those things produce joy in your life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I've given some extra time to this thought today. I beg some of you. Some of you that just constant, it's negative, negative, negative in your life. Please help yourself. Please help yourself. Get that joy. It's available to you. But there's a process. The Scripture teaches that process.